when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah. In the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Please remain standing.
Dear brothers and sisters, that as we have rejoiced at the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, so by the leave of God's mercy, we announce to you also the joy of his resurrection, who is our Savior. On the fifth day of March will fall Ash Wednesday, and the beginning of the fast of the most Lenten season. On the 20th day of April, you will celebrate the joy Easter Day, the Paschal Feast of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the first day of June will be the Ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. On the eighth day of June, the Feast of Pentecost. On the 22nd day of June, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of Christ. On the 30th day of November, the first Sunday of the Advent of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom is the honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
This past week, I had the joy to go with Father Zane and our youth group on a mission trip to Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania. Absolutely wonderful. The teens were mature, doing a great job serving the poor. And we got to go to a parish that was absolutely on fire to be on mission for the gospel. This parish had a lot going on. They had a clothes and a food pantry to serve all the homeless in that downtown area. They had a couple other ministries I'm not able to mention because it's more secretive. And they even have a cafe that serves coffee and hires people with intellectual disabilities to serve there. They had so much going on, and it was just a joy to be there. So many things happening. The joy to work with the homeless, joy to be with our teens. But a group that impacted me the most, a particular grace, was the missionaries. They had a group of men and a group of women who lived on the parish grounds. Just a year-long commitment to live there, to live in community in prayer, but also to serve the homeless who lived there as well. The people there were on fire for Christ. Just an incredibly brief interaction Father Zane had with one of the missionaries, geeking out over a book he'd read, and just seeing their heart that they had encountered Christ, and Jesus had won them over, so much so that they wanted to give everything back to Christ by feeding him, by sheltering him, by giving him clothing when he needed it, in the lowliest and the poor. These people had met Jesus Christ, that the light of the gospel had shone in Fort Wayne, that brought our teens to want to serve Jesus somehow, be on a mission for him. The light of the gospel had shone in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, so much so that there are people working for the gospel and on fire for him. The light of the gospel had shone in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. That following Jesus is not vague. Following Jesus is very concrete, in specific times, in specific places. When the Magi went to go and follow the star to meet Christ, they were incredibly concrete with what they were doing. They were going to a specific place, a specific time. They'd prepared gifts ahead of time. They knew that they were going to come to a king. They wanted to do him homage and bring him some gift. So they prepared frankincense, gold, and myrrh long before their journeys so they'd have something to give to this king. Then when they met him, they didn't come across a certain king. They didn't come across God in his glory. They came across God in the form of a child. When we encounter Jesus Christ, it is often so normal. And yet somehow the light of Christ shines through that. When our teens were encountering Jesus Christ in the homeless, there's something about it that just Christ shone through that moment, even if it seemed so normal. Some of our teens, a few of them were moving furniture all morning long. They didn't even get to encounter those people because they were busy serving them, getting rooms ready for them. One of our teens just mentioned, like, it was beautiful just getting to be kind of like a monk this morning. No one saw us. We just did the work because we knew it brought glory to God. That encountering the gospel, encountering Jesus, is so often so mundane. And yet Jesus' light shines through that. If following Jesus is specific, today I want to look at just four times. The piece of counsel I give more than any in the confessional is a quote from our beloved Father Brian Eisenberger, who said that, yeah, following Jesus is specific. It means praying every day, worshiping every Sunday, going to confession every two or three months, and partying a lot, in a good way. I want to add just one more in there to make four times we give to the Lord get specific. Just like Father Brian said, we need to give our time to God every day. I encourage every morning before a day goes, because let's be honest, if we say we'll do it at night, we'll get busy, we'll get tired. But if we start our day with the Lord, even just 15 minutes, that, okay, Lord, I give these 15 minutes to you every day in that chair with this book of the Bible, with get specific with it, whatever works best for you. If we do that with the Lord, the rest of our day is baptized, and we'll just naturally be with the Lord throughout the day. We'll find ourselves praying on accident, or even just wanting to pray more. Second, giving our time to the Lord every week on Sunday. You guys are doing it right now of Sunday worship, but along with that, having the rest of the day just for Sunday leisure, Sunday rest with the Lord, with your family. If we do that, the rest of our day, or the rest of our week, is baptized, and we'll be with the Lord throughout the week. Along with that, once a month, do something special for the Lord. The men in the parish, Father Dan, has called us to 1 hour in the oratory a month with the Lord, doing something special. The priest of our diocese, a brother of mine, has called my brother priest on to spend 1 day a month using our day off as a desert day at the convent with the sisters in Mishawaka, Indiana. And he's blessed us. We have about 8 or 9 priests going. Father Zane and I both try and go pretty regularly. And it's been such a blessing just to have one day a month where it's like doing something special for the Lord and able to kind of recalibrate and give that to God back. And finally, once every, month and a half to 3 months, Father Dan recommends go to confession every 6 weeks typically. That's a good, healthy amount. At a minimum, I'd recommend once every season, every spring, summer, fall, winter. That's a good, healthy amount to go. The bare minimum, the church says we have to go at least once a year. But going every 6 to 12 weeks is such a healthy amount. These gifts, preparing these gifts this time, the spiritual exercise is to take our calendar and write down, plug on the Google Calendar, whatever you guys do, what is the day, my daily life, I'm giving to God in prayer? What is my weekly time I'm giving to God in worship? What is my monthly time I'm doing something special for the Lord? And what is my seasonal time I'm going to confession? If we write that down now, we're preparing a gift for the Lord, just like the three wise men did, ahead of time. So we're not scrounging in our pockets trying to find something to give. But we know now, okay, Lord, this year of 2025, I give my time to you concretely. Because I give this to you, I have a desire to be in relationship with you and a desire to give my heart to you. And once we have completed the spiritual exercise, we can put a cap on it by celebrating today the Epiphany, when we see the light of Christ with, you guessed it, chalk. It's a tradition to bless one's home with chalk. You'll write the year of the Lord, 2025, and the initials of the three wise men, CMB, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, traditionally speaking. Once we have given Christ our time this year, we give Christ our space, our home, and bless it and mark it with blessed chalk. And by this gift of our space, gift of our time, it'll be a specific gift of our heart to Christ. Following Jesus is not vague, but when we have seen the light of Christ, we have to give ourselves back to him. We give him our time, our space. Ultimately, by seeing the light of Christ, we give him our hearts.